If you will, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We had been covering the issue of Satan's ability to come against the body of Christ. And so what he likes to do is mess with your mind. He likes to get into your thinking. And he can't read our minds, but he can sure discern what we're all about. He's been around a lot longer than any of us have in this building. So he can observe and pretty well read you. But what brings a confusion in his life is if you take on a new identity. And that is the identity that resides within Christ. And when we start that transformation, his ability to deceive us becomes weaker and weaker. And so what he wants to do is really, he has several things that he wants to keep you from. Number one is the Word. He wants to keep you from the Word of God. He'll do any means that he can. According to Mark 4, he chooses quite a few different things to keep you away from the Word, because the Word in seed form has the ability to take root in your spirit and bring forth fruit. And so he wants to do everything he can to keep that seed from taking root. Somebody asked me, Pastor, what does it mean when the seed takes root? Well, how many of you have seen a packet of seeds, you know, and you see the vegetable or the flower that's on it, or it gives you a whole picture of what that seed has in it. And Satan's number one job is to try to fragment that seed. He wants to destroy it before it can take root. And I did a series, I don't know how long ago it was, on the principles of wisdom and how wisdom will cry out in the street. It means it's available for anyone to get a hold of. But it's up to us to gain understanding concerning that wisdom. Because understanding is what stabilizes you. Not just the principles of wisdom, but the understanding of the principles of wisdom is what stabilizes you. And that is the root system of that seed. You seek God until you find Him clearly in picture form within you. And it helps deliver the soul. Because your soul is a process of deliverance. And we brought out that many people don't understand that the soul has two minds within it. You only have one soul, but the two minds. The mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. Now, the mind of the spirit did not have an identity until you got born again. And that's when the Holy Spirit moved into your heart and circumcised you from the outward man and gave you your own spiritual identity. And the sad part about it is a lot of Christians don't realize there is such a thing as a tripart being with the spiritual soul. They only see the soul as having one mind process, and that is from the natural. Thank God we've discovered that's not true. Because how many of you have stepped up and had to exercise faith in your life? Oh, yeah. And where you got your faith from, your hope from, was through the Word of God that gave you a promise. Well, how many of you know that there was a voice also on the inside of you that spoke contrary to it? Well, it was the mind of the senses. When you take the mind of the senses and you remove his perimeters, he's lost. He can only operate within the perimeters of this natural world. You know, the spiritual mind is not limited to substance. It has the ability to develop an understanding of God because it has a different nature than it once had. It was once united in one with the nature of the body, the flesh. And that's why God in the Old Testament dealt with mankind contrary to his nature, but he had a plan. And that is to get you born again and get his nature on the inside of you so that now you can develop that nature to override the nature that's in the world. Amen? And so Satan wants the mind. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul the Apostle says in verse 4, or verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Many people don't really understand that. How many of you know that every true child of God always has an abiding experience of conflict within himself as described in Galatians 5:17? Every believer has this abiding conflict within themselves. But not every believer understands the word concerning this conflict within himself. Not every believer does. And so what it does, it brings a fear. It brings confusion. It brings discouragement. It brings disquietness. Not knowing the two natures he possesses. See, I always thought, for years, I had to renew my natural mind, and I only had one nature. And I was redeemed from it when I got born again, but I didn't realize there was a nature within the body. Because it says when Adam fell, that nature entered the world. It didn't say it entered his spirit, it said it entered his world. And so then over a process of time, he lost spiritual identity. He didn't no longer see himself as a spiritual being, and God could no longer deal with him. Right. And that's why the flood came. God had to preserve more than just one. And that's where in 1 Peter 3, it always amazes me how many ministers ask me about that chapter, about who were those spirits that were disobedient while the ark was preparing. I said, well, it was those families that were listening to the preaching of Noah and didn't agree with them. So when he entered the ark and the floods came, they remembered his preaching and repented in death. So they got to a place where they knew that what Noah was saying was true. Because the earth never experienced a raindrop until the heavens opened up. And so in the repenting of death, God retrieved their spirit and put them in paradise and held them there until their Redeemer Jesus came to release them. Yes. Said he went in there and preached proclamation, but now he doesn't remove the filthiness of the flesh. Aren't you glad? What he did is he, in his creativity, he did something that no one else could do. And that was find a way to get the nature of God back into mankind so that he could dominate his old man. That's why the Bible's very clear. You got to put him off. I was trying to find scripture. It says you can counsel him out of your life. There's no scripture. So the Bible just clearly says, here's how you got to deal with your old man. Now, isn't that easy? Just take them off. You old sinner, you. So you just got to take them off. And that's a choice you got to make. But aren't you glad Keith Hershey came along last Sunday? Boy, that message he preached. If you wasn't here, you need to get it because you missed it. You missed a mark with God on that one. He just put it all together for me. Not that... that we love God, but he loved us. Aren't you glad that in spite of how stupid we are, God's still smart? Isn't that good news? He still knows what he's doing. Praise God. The problem that he has is we don't know what we're doing. So we have to find his will. and then begin to walk out His will. And then once we develop clearly the walk of the Spirit, then it's easier for God to lead us. Because being led by the Spirit requires maturity. And so at first, we start out not really clearly knowing how God leads us, but He leads us very simply. You'll get an inner check or something ain't right. You'll feel disquieted. But the more knowledge you receive, the more you can discern your perimeters, the more, how would I say, more GPS your life becomes. You have this GPS now that can take you there. I'm driving you nuts, sorry, honey. But Satan's number one goal is for you not to know several things. Number one, he wants you to doubt God's love for you.
Right.
And how can he do that? Because he uses your past life and failures against you. When Sue and I started church years ago, when I came to church, I didn't like coming to church because everything the preacher preached, I did. And was still presently doing. And he'd say, you know you're doing that, you sinner, you. And I'd always go, well, I don't know whether I'm going to go back there or not. I just can't please God. I just can't meet that standard. And so I stepped out of the church for 3 years. Thank God Sue stayed in it. She's the one that had the spiritual brains, not me. And through, you know, I don't want to go into the details, but it drove me back into the church. And then I began to realize that you can't find God through people. You can't find God through things. You have to find Him through your own personal walk with Him.
Yeah.
In your own personal fellowship. And so I started that journey with Him alone. And there were times I'd come into church and feel so frustrated and just walk out. But I had enough sense to go to the park and pray. You know. And thank God he bound me back with the local church, you know. But at that time, I didn't know any better. I was frustrated because I didn't want to go back to a place of this frustration, of this inner conflict. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's always a conflict that goes on because your outer man has its demands on your life. And the life that's on the inside of you, you're not familiar with that life when you get born again. But your outer life, you're very familiar with. You've walked it out. You've fellowshipped with it. You've walked with it and talked with it. You've reasoned with it. So you knew that natural life. But this new life that I got on the inside of me, I didn't even know how to identify it because I didn't know the Scripture like I know it now. And the Scripture then began to tell me what I was made up on the inside. And once I began to discover that, then Satan's ability to communicate with me through my natural thinking begins to lose its hold on me. See, that's what Satan does not want you to do, is to keep a hold of the Word of God until it develops a root. And how it develops a root is that you've got to search it out for its understanding. Every time you search out a thought and its understanding, the roots grow a little more and a little more and a little more until literally the full picture of what the Scripture is saying in seed form blossoms in your natural mind. And your natural mind automatically refuses that thought. But because the Word came through your spirit, it don't matter what your natural mind says, your soul is now anchored in the hope of the Word of God, and you cannot be moved from that thought. Because it came from God. Glory, glory, glory. people all their life struggle trying to improve their old self-image. You can't prove it. Because every time you look at your old person that you were, that natural mind will agree with the enemy. Yes, that happened to you because you did it. That wouldn't have happened to you if you wasn't. See, he comes at you through the old person you was, but he keeps the light of the glorious gospel from your thinking, discovering what you are in Christ. And you know, he made you the righteousness of God in Christ apart from law. Or really in the Greek it says apart from law method. Why? Because when God works on the inside of you to raise up and develop your inward being, it's not according to the law of Moses, is according to the law of Christ, which is liberty, freedom. You got all the time, you got all the mercy, and you got all the grace in this dispensation, in this time, to grow up in Him, because His love is anchored on you, regardless of what you think about it. And I like that, because there's a freedom to it. When God leads you, you can go back to Scripture and He gives you Scripture to divinely lead you. You are not going to allow that natural way of thinking talk you out of it. Why? Because you got the revelation of it. It harvests itself in you. They call it the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is what pops out on the branches. It's not what stays on the inside of you. It comes out of you. Glory to God. That's why the enemy always attacks the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus met some of the disciples after his resurrection, he breathed on them, "Receive you the Spirit." That wasn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the new birth. That's where they received that born again spirit. But the same men that he blew on was in that upper room. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him in the baptism. And this language came out of him. Supernatural language. And this language that comes out of you, I got news for you. It leaves your natural mind out of the equation. Amen. So you're speaking these mysteries directly to God. And Paul had to come along and give some instruction to the Corinthian church, who was mega in spiritual gifts, saying, you guys got to get a hold of yourself and get into control. You sit there and you're speaking in these languages and nobody understands what you're saying. If I said I was going to deliver you the message this morning and stood up here and just spoke in tongues through the whole thing and went and flipped my Bible and pointed to Scripture and just speaking in tongues, you know what you guys would all do? You know what you do? You guys think I was crazy. But that language wasn't given for me to educate you. My language was given to you to prophetically teach you through your understanding. But thank God I use that language to communicate with Him, not man. See? And so Satan, he wants to keep you out of knowing what you are as a tripart being. I guess I'm going to have to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. So let's go over there. John looked at me, oh, you're going to go there, huh? Mainly because of what I had seen. And I don't believe I have the full impact of this verse, but I saw something that caught my attention. Because I read it out of the Greek, and it was worded a little differently. It says in 1 Thessalonians verse chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I was getting this scripture, it was in my morning prayer time with the Lord this morning. And He kept quoting that over and over. And finally, I got up and I had to look at it. And, you know, I'm a contextual type of a teacher. I teach out of the text, not just expositorily off of scriptures pulled at random here and there, you know, all over the Bible. But I'll give that kind of sermon, but thank God for contextual insight, because then you know what sermons to pull out of where, you know. But anyway, in verse 23, the Lord this morning spoke to me and said, you got to read the verses before it and the verses after it. And so when I did, and it finally dawned on me what he was saying without going into the Greek or anything, here's what he was saying. He's saying, may the God of peace himself separate you completely in your understanding, that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved without charge, irreproachable, faultless at the coming of the Lord. And the word preserved means to keep your eye fixed upon. To keep your eye fixed upon. And so in the verse it's saying, may the Lord Jesus Christ, who sanctifies you completely, spirit, soul, body, for you to keep your eyes fixed upon all three components. Yeah. Keep your eyes on them. The body, the soul, the spirit. Because if you get a revelation of all three components and how they are to function together as one, you are a dangerous weapon against the powers of darkness. You are literally primed for now winning a soul. You know that he that is wise is one who can win a soul? That's an Old Testament quote. It means if you can win over a man's way of thinking, it's because you're using the wisdom of God to do that.
Right.
Well, you have to know what a man's like. In New Testament, Jesus exposed him completely. And he gave you and separated your understanding through scripture that you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in the body, and the enemy does not want you to get a hold of that, because once you begin to be able to dissect you as you are and see clearly what the body is all about, see clearly what the soul is all, see clearly. Are you guys following me? The spirit. Once you see how they function, oh man, that gives you a real strong place of argument when it comes for him trying to deceive you, because the only thing he can do is deceive you. Why? He has no authority. He has power, but he has no authority. And so he has to get authority to channel this power through. And so the only thing that he can do is, if you don't have an understanding of how your natural man and the way he desires things functions or works, then the enemy will use that natural man of yours to be your indictment. He'll come right against it. We always tell people, I said, man, they were in church. I knew they loved God, but why aren't they in church anymore? Why? What happened to them? Well, they just don't care. They're just not interested. Why? Something began to die in them. It says when you turn around and you go back and live your life with God out through your body, now you're producing death. And that's called, you're putting your spirit back into the position that held before you got saved, in bondage to your natural being. And Satan doesn't want you to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is your spiritual being. He doesn't want you to see yourself as a spiritual being. He wants you to see yourself as a natural being. Why? Because he doesn't want you spiritual. Why? Because when you become spiritual, guess where you walk? You're walking out where he is. That's why Ephesians 6 says, Paul said to the rest of those who were mature and everything, he says, you're the guys that's going to go hand-to-hand combat with the enemy there, because those in the church are not there. I'm going to use you to supplicate for those Christians. And so, you know, we put on the whole armor of God and all that. They even wrote books about it and stuff. But really what he was saying, these were seasoned Christians that knew how to pray. And they knew how to put on the whole armor of God, and that's all mind stuff. They knew how to cover their mind when they're doing warfare with the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't do anything with your mind and get it disciplined and under control, then he'll take advantage of you. He'll deceive you. He wants your way of thinking. That's why he says our strategy, our warfare is not according to reasoning. That's in 2 Corinthians 10 where we started. Because he says if you learn how to really govern the way you're thinking, you're going to have a whole lot greater victory than what you realize.
Amen.
So Satan's after the way you think. Matter of fact, in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, he talked about Moses going up on the mountain and getting a glow on because he got into the presence of God. And so the presence of God ended up in his flesh. So he'd come down out of the mountain. And then the stubborn, stiff-necked nation of Israel, when they beheld him, they freaked out. And whatever he said, they obeyed. You want to know why? He had that glow about him. It was as though God was talking to them through him. But the glow began to fade. And so the people reverted back to rebellion. And so you know what Moses did? I'm going back up on that mountain and get a glow on. And he said, this time when I come down, I'm going to put a veil over my face. So that when I want to communicate with them, they won't see it fading away. He says, I'll lift the veil. The light will be, and I'm in control. And then he put the veil back down, go back up on the mountain, take the veil off and get a glow on. Put the veil down, come down. That's why you and I have a more glorious ministry than Moses. Because he put a veil over his face. Our ministry is the veil's removed. Somebody said the veil was the law. Oh, really? Then why did he say the veil was his flesh? It's our flesh that veils the glory of God. So we got to let the glory of God come out of us. Is a lamp to be brought under a bushel? That's what he was referring to in Mark 4. He says, you're going to let the light of the glorious gospel out. Now, the Lord told me that this year he's going to get on all of us, including me. We're going to go to soul winning. We get fat. We sit here and we get all this word, and yet we're not soul winning. And God said, my people have been out into the highways and byways, and the harvest is truly great. And he says, they're not catching it with the unsaved people. He said, they are in turmoil. They are not peaceful. They have fear running amongst them. Are you following what I'm saying? And he says, I thrust you out into the community, and then you take over and sink like a natural being, and you have a relationship with them, providing that they return good to you, and you would do good to them. And he says, that ain't the way the kingdom of God works out there in that world. Out there in that world, it's crooked. It's wicked. And it's survival to the fittest. But in the house of God, we are to learn how to love and how to forgive and how to walk in the fullness of what God wants us to do it so that we can reach their soul for the kingdom. I'm going to tell you something, you businessmen. You got the greatest opportunity in the world to those who go for your product to win their soul. That you have an interaction with them and they start ripping you off and stealing. You have an opportunity to stop that man in his tracks by the love of God working through you to him. You can win souls. You can put a notch on your pistol for the one you shot and brought into the kingdom of God. That's what we call drive-by salvations. Boom, boom, boom. Cool, huh? There's one I'm going to get. Boom. But if we're so preoccupied with self and we're not aware that, hey, we're in a field that we can reap the harvest with. So we got to do something about reaching them through the practicalities of our life. We can let the light of the glorious gospel come. And you know what? Have you noticed lately that the sinners can't stand themselves? Have you noticed that? The sin... These politicians and everything that had all this corruption when they were young, all of a sudden is now surfacing, and they're attacking each other like a bunch of sharks for blood. Well, it doesn't cure anything. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can put a cure in that through the love of God working in our hearts and the leading of the Holy Ghost for people. And you know what? God can tell you things about people that only they know. And if the love of God is in you for them, God will reveal it to you to reveal to them. You'll draw them back into the kingdom. There's a lot of Christians out there no longer following God. You can bring them back in. Are you guys getting anything here? See, Satan doesn't want us to be soul winners because he wants our soul. He wants the way we think. That's why it says over in chapter 3 there, it says, when they read the Old Testament, the veil was still over their heart. But in Christ, when you're born again, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. The veil is removed. You are a brand new spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're born from above. Go out and a sinner. And bring him in to be cleaned up. You guys get the drift of what I'm saying. Praise God. We got to start thinking. You know, when I was out in the park, and I knew I had a lot to learn, and I was struggling because I was getting a lot of insight that I wanted my pastor to even start preaching on. I thought he knew it. And I went to him, and he said, where'd you get this information? I said, from so-and-so. And he says, oh, you're in a cult. That blew me away. But you know, I didn't let it bother me. I went out in the park, prayed, and I'll never forget it. Out there on that point, a 5-mile drive. I must have been in the Spirit for 2 or 3 hours. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I looked out over the 5-mile drive right at that peak there. They had a sign there. And I saw this figure walking in midair. I said, how can that be? That guy's walking in midair. And I noticed that as he got closer, it was Jesus. And when he came through those trees up to my bench, I didn't even want to look at him. I was so guilt-ridden. And that's how the enemy makes you think. You can't match up to God. Thank God for Keith Hershey. God isn't matching you up to him. He isn't trying to get you to match. He wants you to know how much he loves you so that you can get to where you want to be with him. Aren't you glad God don't change in his love for you? As stupid as we are at times and some of the dumb stuff we do, man, when Keith got through with that message, I was so free. I don't know about you guys, I was free. Because I was taught my whole early Christian walk. I always had to meet this standard with God. And I got discouraged and couldn't meet it, and so I just got out of the church. But I'll never forget when he looked angry that I looked down. Took his hand and made me look into his face. And there was so much love and light. Somebody said, what color was his eyes? Well, they were just like Revelation said. They were flames of fire. There was so much light in them that you couldn't discern a color. It was just glistening all over like a diamond. You know, because he's just full of light. And he looked disturbed. And he was saying to me without saying it, why did you look down? See, that's the way the enemy wants us to think. You're not worthy enough to even be in his presence. How worthy was I for him to come and visit me? He'd do the same for you if you were seeking for him. That's all I was doing, seeking for him. Lord, help me. At that time, we didn't have the faith ministers that we have today, you know, that gives more light. We had to choke for it. We had to fight for everything that we were learning. And I'll never forget what he said. My son, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Well, that's what I'm trying to give you. What he put into me to understand his wisdom, the devil. See, I was mesmerized for quite a few years. Why did Jesus tell me that and walk off? Why didn't he tell me how the book of Revelation is going to end up? Why didn't he tell me the new moons and Sabbaths and all this stuff? You know, he just told me, be wise as a serpent, harvest the dove, turn around, walked off. And he was mad at me for looking down. But you know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. And so I was sharing that with Dave Roberson one day, and Dave looks at me and says, is that what he said to you? And I said, yeah. Good Lord, Butler. How did you receive that? And I said, you've seen something I ain't? He said, yeah. And of course, I understand it now. Do you know that the same thing he told me, he would tell you guys. Same, be as wise as a serpent. Gain his wisdom. How he operates against you. You know what? There's druggies out there that are in addictions. Do you know you and I have enough power within us to go and lay hands on them? Set them free from that addiction. And you got to bring them in and get them stabilized by the Word of God. Just the power alone won't do it. You got to get them growed up. Yeah. And in the Word, addictions is a horrible thing because it's all body. It's all body ruled. You get hooked into it, and then you got to serve it the rest of your life like a slave. And it does something to your thinking. It messes you up. And so there's where Paul was coming from when he said, our warfare is not with flesh and blood. It's with how mankind thinks. You know, really what they wanted from Paul was credentials. What credentials do you carry to make you a worthy minister? You know, some ministers are caught up in that. You go at my office, you'll see my credentials on the wall, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. Matter of fact, one minister went in my office and goes, you're ordained and you got Kenneth Hagin's signature. I looked at him and I said, so? He says, boy, you better keep hold of that. I said, well, I wasn't planning on putting it anywhere. But you know, those papers on my wall don't mean a hill of beans. If I'm not in integrity and honor in my heart for what they stand for. Yeah. It isn't them plaques, it's what you are as a person. Last night, little Judah bear. We call him Judah Smuda. Lindsay's little boy. Whenever he wants a bottle of milk, he'll come and he wants to sit on my lap to drink it. And so he goes and talks with Nanny into getting him a bottle. He comes running for me. Papa! Papa! I got my bottle. He crawls up my lap. And he starts sucking on that milk. Next thing you know, he's... I looked down at his little face, cutest little thing. And I loved him so much. And the Lord told me, tomorrow morning, when you speak to my people, tell them that's how I look at them. Now I love you. He desires to feed you milk so you can grow thereby, so that you would rest in his arms. And that's how much God loves you. Loves you so much. But you know what? You'll never do nothing for him unless you have a passion for him. And you got to go after him with everything. And we are living in a very distracting world. It's getting to the point now where I'm limiting my TV time. Even the commercials now are X-rated. I don't want that thing on when our little kids are running around, unless it's a football game. Then you can moot the commercials. Hey, you guys help me. Let's moot the commercials. They're getting really ridiculous. But you know something? We have to come to a place in our life where we have to challenge ourselves to go after Jesus with everything we got. And you're not going to find him alone and just hoping somebody puts something in you. You've got to go after him yourself. Amen. You got to go after him yourself. And just remember this. Please get a hold of what the scripture says about how in Hebrews 4, you might write this down, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Write these two verses down. I'll give you some homework. Go home and meditate on those verses. And then read the text that the verses are in. That's very interesting. Because the writer, which I believe is Paul, clearly defines that the house of Jesus and the house of Moses are not the same anymore.
Right.
They're not the same. And so when he comes down to verse 12 of Hebrews 4, he says, the word of God completely dissects you.
Yeah.
Spirit, soul, body. This dissects the whole person, even to the thoughts and intents of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Even what's going on in your thinking.
Yeah.
That's why in verse 13 there, I know our translators missed it. They said, therefore we're accountable to Jesus. It doesn't say that. It says, therefore, we're accountable to the Word. Because the Word is what dissects you. Jesus is made evident. But listen, what good is the evidence of Christ if we don't know how to dissect ourselves so that we can do something with knowing Him? Kick the devil in the shins. Tell him you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and I guarantee he'll turn around and bring some accusation against you where you muffed it to begin with, and just say, listen, devil, I know I made that mistake, but I can tell you what, God is the one who loves me. God is the one who's gracing me. God's the one who's given me mercy for that. You leave me alone. I know I got to change there. I'm working on it, but you're not my grace and you're not my mercy. God is. Hallelujah. And you hang in there, and God will encourage you and strengthen you. And next time you come by that little wall of sin where you fell before, and you go, no, 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 not today. No, no, no. Free up. Did you get something? I did a teaching and how to change from your self-image. I got through with that. And I got to thinking, gee, I'm not even qualified to do it myself. Well, having said that, I guess we can dismiss you. We didn't have an altar call, but when you leave, if you would like for prayer, feel free to come up. I'll stay up here for a little bit to pray with you. Especially if you'd like to rekindle your flame with Him, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you've never had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, feel free. We'd love to lay hands on you and let God fill you. If you'd like healing, whatever it is you need, as you go, you feel free to come up here. And with that said, God bless you. Thank you for coming.